Bible said in verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." I'd like to read it one more time. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand in this pulpit once again, break the bread of life. Thank you, God, for encouraging our hearts. Lord, I thank you for each one that's gathered here. Lord, I realize some are sick, and some, Lord, are tending to loved ones that are sick, and some, Lord, are out of town. I just pray, God, that wherever our people are, you'd bless them tonight, strengthen them tonight. Father, I pray for us that have gathered here tonight around the Word of God, that you would help us to be able to leave here after a while and just say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet, sweet Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unity, the Spirit of peace, our Father that's among us. And I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, you would encourage your youngins tonight. Thank you for our visitors tonight, Lord, that have come to visit with us. We're so grateful, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them in a special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We began, I guess, I don't know exactly when it was now, after the revival. Might have been on a Sunday morning, talking about these things that we found in the book of 2 Peter. In chapter 1, there was a welcome in the faith. In chapter 2, there was a warning of the false prophets. And then in chapter 3, there's the wonders of our future together with Him. We looked at deliverance in the book of 2 Peter. And we looked at the danger in the book of 2 Peter. And we looked at the delight on Wednesday night in the book of 2 Peter. And tonight, I want to look at this. I want to look at the duty. D-U-T-Y, the duty. In the book of 2 Peter, the Bible said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Take your Bibles for just a moment, just introducing the message, and turn back with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17 tonight. And I want to read a few verses there this evening. In Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 7 down through verse number 10, I think this will give us a good foundation to build on in this message tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 7 of chapter 17. Jesus said, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?" And I think you say that word trow. I trow not, but it just means I think not. And then in verse number 10, he said, "So likewise, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" How many believes with the Christian life, with the new birth, comes some duty? Amen. That we have a responsibility. And I believe tonight that what Peter is telling us in this verse of Scripture right here is we have a duty, we have a responsibility to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would be very concerned. We're expecting, as a church, about 5 new babies before long around here. I mean, they're just everywhere. Bloomingdale Water, Churchill Water, I mean, it's everywhere. Amen. And we would be very concerned if those babies are born and then those babies don't grow. We would be very concerned. And I believe with all of my heart, Peter's concerned in this text with Christians growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I want to say this in the onset of this message tonight. There's one thing that I think we can capture, and the Lord brought this to my heart and my mind coming up the road. Think about the Apostle Peter. Think about the wonderful book that he has written to us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Think about the Apostle Paul and all the epistles that he has written for the church of the living God. And here's what I want to say. I'm glad that Peter was not still living in his past and dwelling in his past. Now listen to me tonight. What about the Apostle Paul, the one that had killed the Christians, the one that had persecuted them? If Peter was still living back there where he went out, the Bible said, and he wept bitterly. He knew that he had failed the Lord miserably. Amen. But God said, Peter, I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. And so I'm glad that Peter, instead of dwelling in his past and thinking about his past, he's writing to us in this present tense that we might be more effective for God and for God's glory in the future. Amen. He said, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let me give you some things tonight. There's three things here that I see under this area of duty. I hope they'll be a blessing to you. Number one, we have a duty to grow. A duty to grow. In chapter number 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many believes that when you're talking about a physical being, a baby, that what that baby eats determines how that baby grows? Amen? Now, we know tonight that, a youngin' that's, 2 years old is not eating the same thing that he was. Amen, Brother Johnny? Amen? Maddox is eating some different things now, isn't he? Amen? How old is he now? He's 2. Terrible 2. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. That's what they say. Amen. The terrible 2s. That just means they act like their daddy when they're 2 years old. That's all that means. Amen. But he's not eating the same thing today that he was when he was 2 months old. I mean, that's just common sense. Amen. And God said, let me show you something here in the book of 1 Peter. Back up there for just a minute. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. In verse 2, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. How many can remember, my friend, when you were born again and there was a desire in your heart, amen, to read the word of God, to memorize the word of God, to find something to strengthen your soul in the word of God? Well, I want to say this tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but that desire should not decrease as we grow, thank God Almighty. That desire ought to increase for the things of God. Amen. I don't want to eat less steak than I did. I want to eat a little more. Amen. I'm growing. And the Bible said to grow in the grace and knowledge. We started out with milk, but we're not to stay on the milk. We're supposed to, my friend, grow up to that place where we can eat some meat, the meat of the Word of God. In verse number 3, he said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Look at verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe, I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, which be disobedient, the stones which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. I just want to say, listen tonight, when we're newborn babes, he is precious. His word is precious. His spirit is precious. His love is precious. Say amen right here. His people are precious to us. Amen. And I tell you, they ought to be more precious to us than they were when we started on this journey. Amen. Everything that we've talked about there tonight. Grow, a duty to grow. You see, the Bible said in 2 Peter, and I know I've worn this out, but I can't help it. Hey, you don't have to ask what passage of scripture in the book of 2 Peter stuck out the most in pastor's heart. You shouldn't have to ask that. Amen. And besides all this, giving all diligence. But besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Amen. That's how you grow. You grow by adding. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's how you grow. Amen. And when you're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ,
then the Lord is helping us to grow up into that stature of a man. Look at 1 John for just a minute. You won't have to turn far. 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. The Bible said here, I write unto you little children. See it right there? How many can remember when you were one of those little children? Amen. You were in that stage. Watch it now. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I'm going to make a statement again. I'm not trying to be mean, but we ought to get past that right there where that's all we've got to shout about. It's because our sins are forgiven. Amen. We ought to grow a little bit. And then the Bible said, I write unto you fathers because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I've written unto you fathers because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. I don't believe there's any overcoming unless we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a duty to grow. A duty to grow. Do you believe that tonight? I believe, listen, God wants us to grow. Let me go over here to Hebrews. I didn't mean to do this. Holy Spirit just put it on my mind. I don't know exactly how it reads. I'm going to turn to it and read us something here. I believe it's in Hebrews. Might be chapter 5. Yes, it is. Now watch this thing. Watch this. Chapter 5, verse 11. I'm not trying to be mean. Let me say this. We're always needing teachers, aren't we, Brother Brian? Always. Amen. Our church is going to grow and we're going to need more of them. Amen. Now watch this. The Bible said here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Wow. Let me look here just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me look over here. Whoa. I just now got that. Look in verse 16 in 2 Peter chapter number 3. And in all his epistles speaking in them of things in which some things hard to be understood. You see that right there? Over here in the book of Hebrews, he says hard to be uttered. See, and then he said over here, hard to be understood. Watch this now. He said, seeing you're dull of hearing. Now listen, nobody's lived for God long without your hearing being dulled. Amen. How many can remember a time in your life, amen, when you were hearing but you weren't hearing? Amen. You were hearing with your ear, but you were not hearing with your heart. How many can remember that? Amen. We get cold and we get indifferent. The Bible said here, of whom have many things to say, hard to be uttered, saying you're dull of hearing. Seeing you're dull of hearing. Look at verse number 12. For when, for a time, you ought to be teachers. You have need. Now listen, if this is speaking to your heart tonight, I have absolutely no one on my mind tonight. I'm not preaching and standing behind a pulpit and trying to preach at someone. But if this is speaking to your heart tonight, you take it from the Lord. Amen. The Bible said here, there's a time you ought to be teachers. And then he said, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many believes right there? That's growing! Amen. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't, then what we're doing is having need somebody teach us again when we ought to be teaching somebody else. Let me say this evening. I don't believe that's necessarily talking about standing in a place like this and teaching a Sunday school class. Listen to me carefully. You'll get this after a while. Amen. There are people all around here that don't know the way to heaven, that need somebody to teach them. Amen. The things we need to teach our children. We need to teach our grandchildren the things of God. There's a duty to grow. Now let me give you this tonight. Secondly, I see in the book of 2 Peter a duty to glow. G-L-O-W. The first word was G-R-O-W. The second word is the word G-L-O-W. Look at chapter 1, verse 19. In chapter 1, verse number 19, listen to what the Bible said here. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We shout because we have the word of God, don't we? Amen? He said, wherein do you do well that you what? We have it and we hear it, but we're supposed to heed it. Take heed. Because what happens? He says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The word of God said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe we're living in a dark world. And I believe we as God's people, we have a duty to glow for the glory of God. Jesus said when he was in the world, I'm the light of the world. But he's going to go away now. And he says, ye are the light of the world. Amen. All I'm hearing in this generation is it's dark, it's dark, it's dark. Well, let me say this. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. Amen. I believe, my friend, that God wants us to make a difference in this generation. And he wants us to glow for the glory of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 3 and verse number 4. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. How many remembers when Moses come down off of the mount? Amen. I'm telling you, he had to cover his face with a veil. He had been in the presence of God. And I'll say this tonight, and I say it and I mean it with all my heart. One of the things that's missing in this generation, in the pulpit and in the pew, is that glow. Amen. That glow of the glory of an almighty God. Amen. We need that glow back. We need that glow back. I'll tell you, my friend, tonight, God wants us to understand we have a duty to let our light shine. Chapter 1, you see here in chapter 3, verse 10 through verse number 14. Let me show you something right here. The Bible said here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. How many believes everything we're looking at is going to be dissolved? Amen. Sister Helen over there at the back of the garage yesterday, they poured some big thick concrete to hold that wall up there. There's coming a day, ain't going to be no concrete. It'll all be dissolved. The rocks will be dissolved. Everything that this heaven and this earth is made out of will melt with fervent heat. That's what the Word of God said. How many of us know that? We know that, amen. Now we have a duty, knowing that, to glow for the glory of God. Watch this now. He said, looking for, in verse 12, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You can go over there. I'll go ahead and go over there now for just a minute. I'll wait just a minute on that. We're going to look at some scripture there and talk about Noah in just a minute. But did you know in Bloomingdale, I will guarantee you that right here in our community, there are people that do not know that what they're looking at is going to burn one day after a while. People that don't know that, you could ask them, you know, how did God destroy the world as we know it the first time? They probably couldn't answer that question either. Some might say the flood. But I'll tell you the next time, it's not going to be the flood. It's going to be the fire. Amen. My friend, that rainbow was put up there in the sky. It was a covenant. And God said, I'll not do it that way again. Amen. But I want you to know this. He will rain fire on this place. And it will melt with fervent heat. And you and I ought to be glowing. Amen. For the glory of God in the midst of all that. Let me say this to you tonight. We need the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, how the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness, amen, and patience. God said the fruit of the Spirit, we ought to have that, because when we have that, our life glows for the glory of God, amen. I believe we need that tonight. Watch this now, and I'm done. There's duty in the book of 2 Peter. A duty to grow, a duty to glow. You know what I believe? I believe tonight that there are a lot of men and women in America shirking their duty. How many believes that tonight? Let me go a step further. I believe there are a lot of Christians in America. I'm talking about blood-bought, born-again, heaven-bound children of the living God that are shirking their duty. Amen. They're saying, well, the preacher will do it, or the deacons will do it, or somebody else will do it. Amen. I want you to know every one of us, I said it this morning in the book of Jonah, has a purpose in life. Amen. And no one else can fulfill that purpose that God has given us. We need to fulfill that purpose, that duty that God has given us tonight. Now let me give you this tonight and I'm done. Don't get all excited on me. Amen. But I will be done. This is the third and last thing, the final thing in the message. We have a duty to grow. Do you believe that tonight? We have a duty to glow. I mean that tonight, to glow in this dark world for the glory of God. But the third thing I see tonight is we have a duty to go. The little word G-O. We have a duty to go. Let me share it with you tonight and see if you agree. Look at 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse number, excuse me, if you find that we're in trouble. How about chapter 2 and verse 5? Amen. Amen. I got Brother Brian to praying for me right there. Amen. God help that preacher. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, wait a minute. What I believe here is that Noah was fulfilling his duty in his generation. Amen. I believe that Noah was letting his light shine. I believe that Noah was a preacher of righteousness because the Bible said he was. Amen. But I believe there's somebody here, and this is why I wanted to show you the contrast. There's one man that's fulfilling his duty. I find that in Noah. But there's another man that's shirking his duty, and I find that in Lot. Look at it right here. The Bible said here, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to all those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You say, preacher, what happened in Lot's life? I'll tell you what happened. Lot got his eyes on the temporal. Lot got his eyes off of the eternal. Lot stopped growing, and Lot stopped glowing, and Lot stopped going for the glory of God Almighty. And an entire city, my friend, listen, you talk about bloody hands. But that man, yes, the Bible said he's saved. If it wasn't for that verse there in Peter, I wouldn't know he was. But I'll say this, that man's going to have some bloody hands one day after a while. He did not sound the warning. He seemed, even to his sons-in-law, that close to somebody that was making a mockery out of the things of God. By the way, friend, listen. You say, preacher, why does God put all that emphasis on holy living? I'll tell you why. Because if we're trying to warn people about the judgment to come, and this Lord and this gospel and this Bible had made any difference in our life, we just seem like somebody that's mocking the things of God. Amen. But oh, beloved, if it's made a change in us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If it's made a change in us, I believe it carries weight when we go with that old story of Jesus and his glory. Look here with me in chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible said, for if these things be in you and abound, you know those eight things. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up the word barren. And the reason I looked it up is because I was checking on a man by the name of C.I. Scofield over in the margin of my Bible. And by the way, he's a lot smarter than I am, but he still needs to be checked on. Say amen right there. Some of that stuff he writes in the margin, I don't go for. When he says something like in the original manuscript, you don't find these verses, you can have it. Say amen. I'm not going there. And you're not going to bring a knife and cut them out of my Bible because C.I. Scofield said something. Amen. Amen. But in the margin of my Bible, he uses for the definition for the word there, He uses the word idle. So I wanted to check on it. Barren. I wasn't really getting the meaning of that. Because to me, barren just meant without any fruit, so to speak, or without any children, so to speak. But it means idle. It does. It means useless. And it means lazy. That's what it means. How many believes we're living in a lazy generation? My daddy had a word for it. I guess only Southerners can understand it. But he'd say they're sorry. Amen. He didn't mean they're sorry for what they done. What he meant was, he said it like this sometimes. Why, they wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. That's what my daddy would say. Amen. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this tonight. This is just a sidetrack. That's the reason our nation's headed in the direction it's headed in. The Bible still said if a man don't work, that man shouldn't eat. If a man's disabled, that's one thing. If a man refuses to work, that's another thing. Are you listening to me? Amen. I believe that God intended us by the curse in the garden to work. Sweat. Earn a living. Amen. The Bible said here, they make you to be neither barren. We don't have to worry about being useless and lazy and idle. If we're, my friend, concerned about growing and glowing and going for the glory of God, we don't have to worry about being idle and useless. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. We all know what idleness gets us. Somebody tell me what it got David. I guarantee you, you could ask him tonight. And he'd say, I'd give anything if I'd had my sword in my hand and been out there with my men that day. Amen. Give anything if I hadn't have been parked up there on the rooftop in the middle of the afternoon while my men were fighting on the battlefield. Give anything. In the year the kings went forth to battle, if I'd have just went with them. There's a duty to go. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I tell you, this really stuck out in my heart. When you get from brotherly kindness down there in verse 7 to charity, I know I've already mentioned it, agape. Let me ask you something. Does God love Bloomingdale? How many believes if He loves Bloomingdale, we ought to love Him? How many believes if He would go to Him, we ought to go to Him? Amen. Love, this agape love, my friend, gives us what we need to be what we need to be for the glory of God. There's a duty in the book of 2 Peter. Let me give you this in John chapter number 4. Turn there with me for a minute. John chapter number 4. Well, this blessed my heart today. He said, preacher, well, I understand that duty to go for preachers and evangelists and missionaries. I understand that. Well, let me show you something here in the Bible. I wanted God to give me an example, and He did. The Bible said over there in 2 Peter, how many remembers that phrase? Wells without water. How many remembers that? Amen. There's a bunch of them around, ain't they? But watch this. In John chapter number 4, John chapter number 4 and verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, her is the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. Verse 14, He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, boy, I like this, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let me tell you something right now. Everybody that's ever met Jesus in faith and been saved by the grace of God, they've got some water in their well. And let me say this. We've got water in our well. And all around us, there are people that need a drink. Amen? They need a drink. They need a drink. And the Bible said here, watch this now. The woman said to her, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. How many remembers that illustration with the tissue this morning? How many remembers that? You say, preacher, where are you getting that? Watch what happens here. The woman said, sir, give me this water. Jesus in verse number 16 said, go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered him and said, sir, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou'st well said, I have no husband, for thou'st had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. You say, preacher, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, honey, you was willing to uncover it, and I'm fixing to cover it. Amen. I'm fixing to give you some water in your well. Now watch this. I'm not going to read it. You can read it. It's right on over in the chapter. This woman never went to Sunday school. I'm for going to Sunday school. Never went to a conference. Never went to a revival. As far as I know, she hadn't even been to a Sabbath service yet. Say amen. Watch this. She went back to town. And it's clear that she has something to say to the men in that town. And she said, I want you to come see a man that told me all things ever I did. It's not this the Christ. You say, preacher, what was going on in this woman's life? She was already growing. She was already glowing. And she was already going and telling somebody else what God had done in her heart and in her life. I don't know about you, but I like that. The Bible said many believed on her, on him, I'm sorry, Jesus, for the saying of the woman. Then later on, Jesus has come on to town, and then many more got in. Amen. She was preparing the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, beloved, we know that God has to do the saving, but God give us a gospel to go with. God give us a gospel to go with, to carry. Amen. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. God's people are not wells without water. My friend, we've got some water in our well. In the glowing, we have the fruit of the Spirit. In the going, we have the fruit of the Christian. The fruit of the Christian, the Bible said, the tree of the righteous. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Listen, we need to remember what John said. The Bible said this of John. Jesus said this. He said, among those that's born of women, there's not a greater than John. Think about that. Here's what John said. He said, I'm not that light. But he said, I'm sent to bear witness of that light. And that is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. How many believes we have a duty to grow? How many believes we have a duty to glow, to shine for the glory of God? How many believes we have a duty to go? Amen. And tell others, amen, this old, old story. Tell them what Jesus means to us. Amen. I thought about this, and I'll turn there to this passage because I believe it's a wonderful passage of Scripture, that agape love. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for just a minute. I'll not be long. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. This is that chapter I was reading to my mama out of just before she went to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. What a blessing this old book is. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Watch this now. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I looked up that word constrain. This is really, really, I mean, it's something to me. I don't know how to pronounce them words and all that. But the word constrain, when you look it up, it says to compel. The love of Christ compels me. Watch this now. And then you go over there where the Bible said, Jesus told them, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. I looked that up in the Greek and it means to constrain. What about that? Amen. I tell you tonight, thank God the Bible said the love of Christ is driving me, compelling me to go with the gospel. Watch this now. Because if one died for all, we thus judge. If one died for all, did he die for all? Please answer me. Did he die for all? He said, then we're all dead. We were all dead. If we're saved tonight, we were dead. We're either in a state where we were dead or we are dead. One or the other. It can't be both ways. Amen. Watch this now. And that he died for all, verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Drop down to verse number 19. To wit, let me read verse 18. I'm sorry. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to... How many believes the Apostle Paul could have said me right there if he wanted to? But he didn't say me. He said us. He didn't say I. He said we. Watch this now. Please look at it. He said he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, this word is not just for us to grow. This word is for us to give to others. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. I know it gets quiet when you preach like this, but that's okay. It's not going to change that we have a duty to go with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to change. Now then we are. He didn't say now then I am. He said now then we are ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents another country. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. We're supposed to represent another land. Our homeland. Heaven's bright shore. Thank God tonight. The Bible said here, we're ambassadors as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be you reconciled to God. We have made him. I believe there's a reason. I never saw this till this afternoon. There's a reason God put this verse right where it's at. For he hath made him. He, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You might say, preacher, what are you getting at? I believe right there's the message the world needs to hear. Somebody took our place. Somebody loved us enough to go to that cross and die in our place, that he might reconcile us to God by his own precious blood. If people understood that, they'd quit believing church membership will help them. Say amen. They quit believing that a little water sprinkled on them or a whole lot of water dipped in will make a difference in their eternity. If they believe that, they quit believing, my friend, that religion's all you need. They'd understand you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus through the new birth. This world is eat up with religion. And by the way, don't you believe the lie that that outfit that's cutting people's heads off ain't religious. Oh, they're real good and religious. By the way, let me just tell you, it was a religious crowd that crucified our Lord. My soul. People wanting to deny that it has anything to do with religion. My. Tell you what we're doing. We're straining at a gnat and we're swallowing the camel the whole time. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, God said we have a duty. This preacher's got a duty, Brother Gale. A duty to grow. I'm not there yet. The Apostle Paul, as bright a man as he was, as close as he walked with God, he said, I've not yet attained. I still need to grow. I still want to be more like him. I still want to learn more about him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And I have a duty to glow, to let my light shine. I have a light. Amen. The light of the world lives inside of me. The devil wants to keep it under a bushel. The flesh don't care whether it shines or not. And this world would just soon not know he lives in there. But thank God he wants to come out. And then I have a duty. I'll just share this with you tonight. Listen, church, I thank God for our church and for what's going on and what we're doing and going out to reach others. We can do a better job. Say amen. We've not arrived. We can do a better job. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. Nowhere in that Bible that I can find, if you find it, show it to me. I'll be glad to see it. But nowhere in that Bible did I find, Brother Johnny, that God ever told a sinner to go to church. I can't find it in the Word of God. But I can see where He said for us to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. I found that in the Word of God. Amen. I believe tonight it's important. Amen. If we lose sight of that, I thank God for the sight that God has given us for missions. But let me say something to you tonight. Across the sea will never relieve us of our responsibility across the street. Never, ever, 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 ever will sending missionaries across the sea relieve us of our responsibility to go across the street. How many believes that tonight? Let's pray together. Let's work together. Let's grow together. Let's glow together. Let's go together. Amen. Sister Brooke was telling me this morning, I was asking about the last food that was delivered. She was telling me about 10 families. And preacher, we've had some great visits and we're trying to reach them. I say hallelujah. Amen. That's what it's all about. Trying to reach somebody with this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Help us tonight, Lord, to take this duty. Lord, when a man signs up in the military, Lord, he can't take that lightly. If he does, he gets in a heap of trouble. And Lord, when we got birthed into the family of God, Lord, we didn't just get into a picnic. We got into a war. And Lord, we're supposed to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that like Timothy of old, Lord, that you would help us to endure hardness. Lord, people will say things out here in the world. And Lord, the teenagers will face things at school if they take a stand for Christ. Will not be pleasant. Help us to grow anyway. Help us to glow anyway. And help us to go anyway with this good news that He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Thank you, dear Father, for the time together tonight. Thank you for allowing us to see our duty in the book of 2 Peter. In Jesus' name.